It's not easy having yourself a good time. Greasing up those bets and feathers, watching your thing, don't want to let can kiss you both at the same time. Smells like something I've forgotten, curled up tight and now it's rotten. I'm not a gangster tonight, don't want to be a bad guy. I'm just a loner, baby, and now you've gotten in my way. I can't decide whether you should live or die.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Nitro Beer Jumpcast, the only manga podcast on the internet that appropriately OTPs with every other manga podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Imran Khan, and joining me this week is Greg, you should really read BL Jan, and Mike, you can almost hear the title music, Lemieux.
Yeah.
Good one. Well, ones. I did read it this week.
Well, that's what you guys have basically been saying to me for the past week is you've been telling me to read BL, which I did today, and Mike has been, the comment I remember most is when we were talking about Naruto. You telling me that we could really hear the title music while reading it.
Yeah, that's totally... You want to talk about Naruto first and the hot blood, awesome shonen, F yeah, everybody's super awesome friendship moment?
Yeah, that was shonen-y as hell. Like, if you had to... if there was a dictionary definition of shonen, that should be under it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we're heading back into the... Oh, Sasuke's back in the manga, which means it's going to start sucking again, just like everything else that's involved him since the time skip.
Yeah, you guys thought I was paranoid last week for saying, oh, Sasuke's going to come back and ruin everything.
It'll be fine, I hope. I can't be that optimistic, but...
It just really is kind of funny to think back for everything since the time skip. I've enjoyed everything that doesn't involve him, and... for the most part, with one or two possible exceptions, haven't enjoyed anything that involves him.
I think it was pretty cool when they confronted him at Orochimaru's fortress, but yeah, then immediately went downhill.
That was the cool moment, is the explosion and him standing above them, and it ended there.
Because at that point, like, it was like, oh, Naruto and Sasuke are finally even. This is going to be an interesting fight. But then, like, oh no, Sasuke's actually 10 times his power right now.
Yeah, the stupid, like... I'm going to paralyze all of you in an instant and then go inside your mind and F you up.
But for people who haven't read this week's Naruto, basically what happens is it was the standard shonen, let's all fight because the hero is fighting himself kind of speech.
I like that dude risked his life to go tell people to go watch Naruto fight. Like, that's all they're running there to do is just watch the fight.
Yeah, they're not going to help. They're just, you know.
No, nobody talks about fighting Madara. They just talk about watching Naruto fight Madara.
They didn't even show, like, the Hokage's reaction, or any of the Kage's.
Well, they're a little busy at the moment.
I kind of wonder if everyone ditched that fight for the more interesting one. Like, I hear some kid's got, like, a giant Ninetales robot over here.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, all the people that they were showing were all of the, his class.
Yeah, it was the Ganon 9.
And the folks who were over with the Hokages watching the other ones were the foreign country ones. Like, I don't think that there were any of actually those characters that were over at the Hokage fight. So it could just be that there's the supporting cast at either one, and one of them is the other village's ones, and the ones going to Naruto's fight are the ones that will actually have some sort of vested interest in the Sasuke bit, minus Gaara.
But... My theory is that, like... Kishimoto had just forgotten about the Madara fight.
Nah, you can't forget something like that.
I mean, there's been not even an interjecting scene. This is happening still.
Well, up until right now, there hasn't really been a good breaking point.
Yeah, I figured
you don't want to jump away when it's in the middle of the giant beast fight and that sort of stuff. Now, that section of it's been wrapped up, so they have this one aside, basically, where everybody else is coming to him, and then the beginning of next chapter would be an excellent breaking point to go over and show the other fight.
Yeah, I think if we don't see it next chapter, that's when you start to raise an eyebrow about it. But for now, it's like this is the ending to the little mini arc that was going on.
It's intermission.
Yeah, though I did find this chapter not interesting per se, but it did what it wanted to do well. It got the blood boiling.
It showed that the Tobi Madara actually was considering Naruto to be a threat now.
Did you guys laugh really hard at Shino not being able to come up with a reason why you should help? Like, he's had no extended interaction with Naruto ever, so he's just like, I'm going to help. I'm not really sure why.
I'm going because I was left out last time.
And Hinata did another confession that I'm sure is going to be whitewashed over at some point.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a confession. It was an internal monologue. But,
true, but I mean, yeah, it's like, I'm going to be the one to be with Naruto after this. And then it's probably never going to come up again.
Again.
That actually did really annoy me in the pain fight.
That... Yeah, I mean, it was like this huge climactic moment where it actually takes it further than most of these shonen mangas ever do with the amount of what.
Yeah, they never say it outright.
And then it's just everybody promptly forgot about it. It was never mentioned again.
I think Kishimoto has to keep the idea of Naruto and Sakura open.
Does anyone care? Like, they don't seem like that good of a couple, even. I mean,
which ones?
Sakura and Naruto. They just seem like they're paired together because they're main characters.
Yeah.
Well, that, and it looks like it's the continuing the identical relationship of his parents sort of thing.
Wait, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, Sakura looks a lot like his mom.
Yeah, now that you mention
that. It's kind of a Oedipus complex, if he was aware of it. Or Oedipus complex, but yeah.
Oh man, an Oedipus complex.
We actually have to
awesome.
Use that now. Now I gotta think of a reason to use
that. Can be the title. That could be the title of the episode, Oedipus complex. What was I gonna say? How did you guys feel about the 2-page spread of footsteps in the mud? That seemed a little excessive.
It didn't bother me.
It didn't look like he was trying to fill time that much, or fill pages, I suppose.
It was just so big.
I was annoyed a couple of times.
If they have page quotas, there's a point that he was trying to get to, and I mean, if you're going to have a 2-page spread to take up an extra page of anything, that's as good as anything.
I did like that Tobi refused to admit that he was scared.
Yeah, can we
but
agree
it was
that
raining.
He...
What are you talking about?
I actually find that really interesting that he seems to be less powerful than Naruto at this point. I mean, maybe he's not going to be the final bad guy.
Sasuke could just show up and slash him.
Yeah, I mean, that's not out of the question.
That would be an active... I think if Sasuke is a major part of how he goes down, I will be actively disappointed in this arc.
I think what's going to happen here is Tobi's going to be outclassed, not be able to touch Naruto, and freak out and try to do his moon plan too early and mess things up, and stuff's going to get real bad. Like, it's not going to go right because he's not prepared. And
he didn't really seem to have
a possibility. Just random question: has with the Bleach thing going on, it's been announced, oh, it's the final arc and that sort of stuff. Has it actually been announced that this is the final Naruto arc or not?
No.
No.
It's just because
I was trying to think about what directions they could possibly go in after this, and honestly, the only thing that I could come up with is if, because he has the chakra of all of the other tailed beasts, so it's kind of like the unification inside of Naruto, if Tobi's plan would succeed, everybody else gets hypnotized, except Naruto is the only person immune to it. So then basically he is trapped in this world and has to free everybody from it. And that's the only real direction of progression other than this being the finale of the series that I can think of.
If they continue another arc, I think what they're going to do is going to be just Naruto and Sasuke. That's the only major conflict they have left.
You see, I can't see it being an entire arc. I can see it being a fight, but I can't... There's no plot there. It's just a fight.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Space Ninjas.
The Space Tribe?
Yeah. They got like a Saturn on their headbands.
Munoha?
Yes.
I would actually be
that
okay with
painful.
That.
Village hidden in the stars. Yeah, this is sounding awesome. We need to write this down and send it into Kishimoto.
Or I guess the other thing is have all of the tailed beasts get unified and then Naruto has to defeat the, you know, no-tailed beast or whatever it was that was talked about. Or was it ten-tailed?
I'm sure this has to be the last arc. They don't always announce when it's the last arc. I think it's just Bleach was on a short hiatus and, you know.
Yeah.
Drum up
it seems
some
like
excitement
there's a
for
lot
it.
of things that are kind of wrapping up right now. A lot of long-running series seem to be in their climaxes at
Yeah,
the moment.
once Bleach and Naruto go, I mean, those are two big ones for Shonen Jump. That's a pretty big hit to take right around the same time.
Which leads me to believe I don't think they're ending both of them. Because why would they? They're a business, and these things still make a lot of money.
Lots of manga go out at the peak of their hype, or the height of their popularity. I mean,
but lots have also been stretched out beyond logical conclusions.
You mean like Dragon
Such
Ball
as...
Z?
Like Dragon Ball Z, like, yeah. And that didn't work out
like...
too badly for Jump, really.
No, that went on like 3 times longer than it was planned to.
It was supposed to end with Frieza.
Yeah, and then like 6 arcs after that.
And like you could tell he was trying to end it every single time.
And then Goku left and never returned, except for that time that he did, and then a monster showed up and they had to fight him.
I've been watching old Toonami promos lately, and it's crazy how hyped I was back then for every single Dragon Ball Z arc.
Yeah, I think I linked you to the one last night that was showing the Frieza arc.
Yeah.
And they were announcing new episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
After...
Yeah, well, I had started watching it back when it was on UPN. God.
Yep. Saturday morning Dragon Ball. I remember that.
And so it was a huge deal when it got picked up by Cartoon Network because then, hey, they're actually starting to bring it over again.
God, what time was it on? It was on at like 6 or 5 a.m. or something? It was...
Yeah, it was that and the old, like... terrible Fantastic Four and Iron Man, like two for.
Oh god, the old Iron Man cartoon. That was just pure awful. But I used to watch Sailor Moon and Samurai Pizza Cats in the morning.
Oh yeah, Samurai Pizza Cats.
Never really my thing, I don't know.
I don't think the only reason I watched Sailor Moon is because it was on before Samurai Pizza Cats. But I think at that point I was like, oh, this is... I realized it was clearly not regular cartoons, but I wasn't quite sure what it was.
Yeah, there was like weirdly like a different animation style than anything else you watched and seemed to be a little more serious, but you never made a connection that it was actually a different style of cartoon.
I kind of wonder if, like, I don't think kids these days, especially post-Toonami, get that same kind of experience. Like, either they know what anime is or they just don't care.
Yeah, well, it, to them it's probably anime is Pokemon. Because that's what they grew up with. But, I mean, the main thing is, without Toonami anymore, there's not really a vehicle for exposing new people to it.
Right. And
because it's not like Cartoon Network really airs any new shows.
And 4Kids kind of poison the well on One Piece.
They poison the well on, like, anime on network television, pretty much.
But I think One Piece, like, if Toonami were still around, One Piece would probably have stood a better chance.
Well, One Piece was one of the the Funimation dub of One Piece was one of the last shows that was on Toonami right at the end.
Yeah.
It was One Piece, Naruto, and I'm trying to think if there were any other anime that I'm aware of that were like there to the bitter end, and I'm not sure off the top of my head, but no, I actually
wasn't Dragon Ball Z.
That
still
was back
on it
when I still had TV, and on the days when I was around, I often just had the TV on so that it would get the not that I'm a Nielsen family, but you know, have the ratings bump sort of thing because it was fun to watch the old episodes again with a decent dub.
The only thing I can think of that's still on TV is just Naruto on Disney XD of all things.
Well, Funimation has their own channel now.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of the things that's in, I think, the U200 package for AT&T. But yeah, they have their own channel, and they're just constantly showing anime 24/7 and a bunch of shows that I've never heard of. And
I'd watch it if they showed Yu Yu Hakusho like all the way through.
Do you remember?
It didn't surprise me.
Do you remember when they moved Yu Yu Hakusho to like 4 a.m. on Saturdays?
Yeah, final arc too.
Speaking of Yu Yu Hakusho, huh?
Bleach is back now.
Yeah,
I actually did.
Yes,
I tried to
back
read the first
with
couple
22
of
pages and this giant spread and all of, and it's announcing a new arc, and then they spend the entire chapter introducing two characters that are going to be ultimately meaningless other than for comedic purposes and doesn't move the plot forward at all.
So is it me, or did they add those two, like the final arc pictures and the color spreads, after the fact? Like, this was not intended to look like that at first. Because they felt weirdly separated from everything else.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Like the pictures of, I don't remember the captain's name, but him talking...
Kurotsuchi.
Yeah. Him and like all the people talking in front of the cells, they seemed like they were kind of rushed to add in. Like that maybe he submitted this before, and then they told him, okay, this is going to have to be the final arc.
I was pretty confused at what was going on in the the first one. So, like, hollows are just disappearing on their own, or?
Well, yeah, this is, my expectation is that they're somehow going to kind of, not necessarily retcon, but there's going to be a bunch of Quincy's that they weren't aware of.
Yeah, well, going by the cover page, they're all wearing, like, white high-collared shirts, which is the Quincy.
Yeah, well, not just that, it's just that going way back to when Quincy's were a fancy new thing and they were explaining the mechanics of everything Soul Society, there's the entire thing about how souls are recycled back and forth between the two worlds, and then hollows that are destroyed, like, those are the souls that aren't sent properly, but then when they're destroyed, they're kind of cleansed, and they either go to hell, which was that other thing that was kind of hand-waved away and everybody forgot about, or that then they're cleansed and sent to Soul Society. But the problem with the Quincy's and why they were all eradicated was when they killed hollows, it just eradicated the soul entirely. They're not back to, they don't go into that cycle, so it's a net loss. So
I don't know about you guys, but ending with the Quincy arc just seems kind of like a, you know, I didn't really have any questions about the Quincy's anymore. It seems like such a weird thing to go out on.
Yeah, that, well, no, like, I mean, it could end up being something else altogether. But
did you guys notice Ishida on the Ryu on the cover?
Was he?
Yeah, apparently a lot of people missed it because it's not very, it's like under Ichigo's left hand. You can kind of see Ishida's profile.
Oh, huh.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is him.
Yeah, so. It was all right. I liked the new characters in this chapter, and Ichigo's entrance was pretty cool.
I still think this is being retrofitted to be the final arc.
I could agree with that.
Cool, because I'm sure this chapter was probably, you know, drawn out well before.
Yeah, months ago, I'm sure.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I actually did read this one, and I still don't know what's going on, but I'm not sure that's because I've missed Bleach for the last couple of years, or that's just Bleach.
We still don't know the details. It's just, you know, two new characters, comedy, Ichigo has his powers again and is doing his thing, and all we know is that there's souls that are, their hollows are being killed / disappearing / whatever.
I'm really hoping that if this is really retrofitted to be the last arc, that it just goes totally crazy. Like, if he wasn't planning on it being the last arc, it's just going to go totally off the rails at some point.
Well, they refer to it early on as a holy war. So I'm hoping it's an actual just straight-up war between Quincy's and Reapers.
Yeah, but it looks like there's only, like, six of them from the cover arc, or cover story. Bah, cover page.
If there's any good thing about limiting characters, it would only apply to Bleach. Because the last thing this manga needs is a bunch more characters.
A bunch of people to draw posing?
Yeah. He has enough character. Just figure out some way to make them fight each other or something.
Yes, I don't think there's really much to say about this chapter because, like, we don't really get a really good idea of where the arc's going. We're kind of introduced to two characters who are probably just going to be thrown away. I mean, totally, really just kind of pointless. That three-page setup in the beginning was really all that mattered.
Yeah, this chapter was definitely a Bleach chapter.
Hey, I will say I did not read it in 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's because it was double length. It was 22 pages instead of the usual, like, 15 or whatever. Well,
there was still a lot more talking and less just showing stuff happen. I don't know, it seemed paced a little better than Bleach usually is.
Hopefully he'll keep it, like, tighter and focused this arc. Because he has to, right? I mean, there's nothing after this.
Nah, obviously he's going to drop a whole bunch of these, like, cliffhanger hint things of where it, you know, never going to mention them again, kind of like the Soul King and all that other sort of stuff, which is probably just going to be left dangling out there. Just to mess with people, right?
See, I'm expecting either that or just a major info dump at the end. Like, every possible question answered in one character's monologue.
So the second half of Xenogears.
Pretty much. Or Death Note.
I'm expecting the stupidest thing ever is that he's going to have to team up with Aizen to fight them or something.
Yeah, they did capture Aizen alive, didn't they?
Yeah, he's chilling in jail.
Didn't his power burn out or something like that, though? Wasn't that one of the things?
Or so you think.
Or they give him back his power, and then he betrays them.
Well, that would be incredibly irresponsible to do that. Here's your
sword,
and
where'd
he go?
Yeah, and we still have those the last couple remaining Arrancar just hanging out there, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to see where it goes, but this chapter was not a very good one.
It's not a good start for an arc, especially one that's like so hyped up to be, oh, the final arc, this is where the series is going to end.
I will say I do like Kurosuchi's new design.
He did have a weird... like, he used to wear something that looked like a mask and a hood.
Oh yeah, you didn't see that. He had a different design last arc too.
Did he?
Like every arc he's different. So the new one's pretty awesome. It's like a giant carapace on his back for some reason.
It kind of bothers me as someone who has not really read since Soul Society that they're taking the clearly evil Soul Reapers and trying to make them seem not as evil. Like
I don't know if they were necessarily ever evil.
He was kind of a bad guy.
He's just kind of a dick. He's not really evil.
But he, like, tortured people.
For science.
Yes, it was in the pursuit of science.
He's that fat bird from Hanafu Boyfriend.
Nobody's going to get that reference.
I feel somebody will get that reference.
That one blew right past me, sorry.
Eh.
This is neither the time nor the place to get into pigeon dating sims.
Oh, God. That thing. Oh, God. All I remember is everybody posting about that for like 2 days and then nothing.
It's one of those things where you just kind of burn yourself out on it and then come back and it's like, oh, this is a thing that existed.
Oh God, I want to move on from this discussion so badly.
I was waiting for a good transition to One Piece, but we haven't had one, so we'll just say
well,
One
now, there was that you blew right past it. The good transition was comparing the beginning of an arc between Bleach and One Piece.
Eh.
Oh, that's a good... I mean, yeah, One Piece. Let's talk about how that started an arc. It started it really well.
So, okay, first things first, the legs. They can't be Buggy, right?
Like that's it. Neither Buggy nor Law, which are the two immediate ideas that you can think of, can make people talk out of their butts. So I don't think it's either one of them.
Well, we don't know that about Law.
What was Law's power again?
He could cut things up.
He could make that room thing where he can make people, like, detach parts of other people and attach them to things.
He attached a dude's head to a cannonball or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, he could have moved the guy's mouth, too. We don't know.
True.
Don't want to know where it is, but he could have done it.
Nah, my personal... I'm going to go with the long shot on this one and say that it's like robot legs or something like that, and that this is going to be the arc where we finally start delving into what's up with Vegapunk.
But he could sense Haki. Because he made a comment about being able to sense Zoros.
Well, maybe he's a cyborg then.
he could have a different power that's just similar to Buggy's, right? Of splitting himself up.
Have they done that yet? They've not actually done... Even similar powers.
I don't know. He could have something that we're just not kind of getting it. I mean,
he has the devil fruit power to be able to mimic the devil fruit power of anybody he touches. And that's why he was screaming about the Shishibukai, which was Buggy.
Didn't Blackbeard actually have that power? To be able to steal powers now?
He has some method of doing that.
Which there's a whole bunch of different things that are speculation concerning that. My favorite of which is that he is an actual chimera, like medical version of chimera, where he's actually three people in one body, and so each one of them can technically have a different power.
So how hard did you guys laugh at the mention of Fairy Tail in regards to the dragon?
Yeah, that's...
Given that I don't read Fairy Tale, I'm afraid that I didn't crack up at that. But...
I can't imagine it was unintentional.
There were people speculating this was going to be a crossover with Fairy Tale, because apparently this dragon looks extremely similar to one from that manga.
Yeah, but it was Oda making a joke, I think.
Yeah.
But it was a good joke. I laughed.
Yeah, so I guess this thing's just chock full of references then, because as I showed to you guys earlier, and I will post over on Platt, that the beheading of the dragon is basically taken straight from that one shot that he did Monster, where Ryoma, the samurai, which was once more referenced back in Thriller Bark, cut off the dragon's head, and it looks identical, but from a different angle sort of thing.
Yeah, it's the same kind of slash. I mean... Even complete with, here, let me bring it up. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's clearly an homage to that. There's no question about that.
It does make me wonder what Oda's doing, though. Like, it's not like him to do things like this without a reason.
Well, it's just, I don't know, the dragon was a big monster that showed up and they killed it. You know, it just is not going to have very much bearing on the arc.
I still think that given how the text looked different and the fact that it didn't have that buh in it last chapter, that last chapter was Luffy hearing the dragon and not the samurai legs talking.
Yeah, Zoro only started hearing stuff when the legs started talking. So nobody believed Luffy.
I do think that is a voice of all things reference once more.
Well, that kind of makes me feel bad then, because they killed it.
It's an animal. They're going to eat it, I hope. Dragon steaks.
Well, it's cooking. You know, just fell to the ground, so it's cooking.
Yeah. What did you guys think about the stuff that was happening on the Sunny?
I'm looking forward to the whoops, I don't have lungs joke from Brooke.
Yeah, did you guys Brooke get knocked out?
Well, did you guys notice that they say there was two humans, a robot, and
the pet
chopper?
Yeah.
Yes, so it's that's an obvious.
Well, they obviously just think it's a skeleton, so they're not going to be bringing him back. And obviously, he saw everybody else get knocked out, and him being Brooke, he also got knocked out. But
yeah, so Brooke's totally going to be the one to save everyone.
Yeah,
that would be good. Brooke deserves an actual arc.
Besides the one that was totally about him.
Well, besides the introduction one, yeah. Which also, now that I think about it,
it's not like, I mean, other than knowing about the salt and that sort of stuff, it wasn't like Brook's time to shine sort of thing. His natural enemy was defeated by Zoro.
So who do you think these guys are? Like, they had Punk Hazard backpacks on.
Yeah, I think that they're Vegapunk's people.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, that's what the PH probably stood for, Punk Hazard.
Yeah.
No, I just put the Vegapunk, Punk Hazard thing together.
Oh, we talked about that last week. Don't you listen to us?
I remember you saying that it might have had something to do with Vegapunk, but I wasn't quite sure why you thought that. When I read simple manga like this, I turn my mind off. So I don't really do much critical thinking. But it does, like, that would be an interesting place to, or like, if Vegapunk is actually capturing the crew, I assume Luffy and Zoro are pretty much going to bust in there and destroy everything.
I'm still guessing that Vegapunk might not be an enemy when it actually comes time for them to meet. I think he's been talked about too much to just be a bad guy.
I almost kind of envision him as a...
Honestly, I picture him joining the crew. Like, you know, they do that a lot. Like with Jinbei, they talked about him for a long time before his introduction. He wasn't anything like what people expected.
Well, no. You were around when I was talking about this. The wonderful, crazy fan theory for who the last member of the crew is going to be.
The numbers, right?
Yes, the numbers thing.
Really?
So, okay. Yeah, you guys keep talking. I will pull up this thing because there's no way I'm going to be able to remember the Japanese numbers off the top of my head.
I don't see you say Jinbei. He wasn't anything like they thought he was going to be, but on the other hand, he also didn't join.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Despite the fact they talked about it for like three arcs.
Yeah, I'm going to have to finally concede that Jinbei is not a member of the crew, huh? You're going to make me do this.
Yeah, we were arguing about this for, I'd say, about a year.
It's like a year and a half. Like, I think we've had a running bet that just keeps escalating.
It's pretty much since the beginning of Impel Down.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's start a new one. These legs, are they going to join?
You also thought, what was her name? The archer.
Girl who didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starts with an M.
Whatever.
I was also kind of in that camp when it initially happened, but that's at the time that I was, you know, going really early and looking at the spoilers and everything else like that, and one of the spoilers said that he asked her to join the crew and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that was also in my time of reading every early spoiler, no matter how preposterous it was.
But yeah, she had a unique design, yet for some reason, like, I feel like
she was very well designed, yeah. And she had a new fighting style that nobody else on the crew had, and
she was capable of keeping up with Luffy, which seems to be the main criteria for joining the crew.
Yeah, all the signs were there, just didn't like she was totally forgotten about once Hancock got introduced.
I kind of wonder if Oda is done adding people to the crew.
And he's just teasing people, yeah. Just messing with people.
Because some of the stuff, like, he knows Jinbei is pretty popular. And for Jinbei to say, I will join your crew when there's an appropriate time, is sufficiently vague.
I'm sure Oda is entirely aware of fan theories. I don't think he lives in a bubble. So, he could totally just poke fun at stuff people think is going to happen. Like asking Jinbei and having him turn him down.
I also like all of the, sections of the fan base who decide to latch on to random people who make no sense, like all the people who were saying that Perona was going to end up coming with them when they left the archipelago and that sort of stuff.
I didn't think that was outside of the realm of possibility.
It was weird when she showed back up when Zoro's island.
One of the pieces of evidence for Perona is that they explained her ability, which they never do with, any old person.
But he deconstructs these crew additions a lot. Like, the very first page Brook is introduced, Luffy asks him to join, and he agrees.
So, as far as not to adding more crew members, I'm kind of split in two on this. Like, on the one, there are an awful lot of main characters to keep track of at this point. He's having to split them up into two groups now. But on the other hand, like, it seems like the kind of thing where he's going to end up with a pretty large crew, right?
It seems like he's going to need at least as many people as Blackbeard has.
Well, I was thinking even Shanks, like a legitimate pirate crew, not just a group of friends.
But like part of the appeal of Luffy's group is that it's a smaller pirate crew and not like a battalion.
I'm kind of wondering if at some point he's not going to get a sudden influx of people, and have like a bunch of nobodies, but also the main guys.
That changes One Piece dramatically, though, the theme of it, basically, because Luffy, it's entirely about that small ship of people, of like five or six people, and all of them are the best at what they do.
Right. If he had a bunch of nobodies, that kind of messes with the dynamic of...
It becomes Naruto.
Yeah.
Okay, I found the best that I can do, so I'm not going to be able to read off the actual numbers and that sort of stuff, because... This was a question which was actually posed to Oda and was published in one of those SBS things that they publish occasionally.
Yeah.
So the fruits of the members of the Straw Hat crew right now are Gomu Gomu for Luffy, Hito Hito for Chopper, Hana Hana for Robin, and Yomi Yomi for Brook. Now, if you take every single one of those, split them in half, they make up the beginning portions of numbers between 1 and 10. So Gomu Gomu is 5 and 6, Hito Hito is 1 and 10, Hana Hana is 8 and 7, and Yomi Yomi is 4 and 3. Now, that leaves two other numbers, 2 and 9, which, if you take the first half of each of those, would make Nikyu, and there is somebody we already know who has the Nikyu Nikyu fruit. That being...
Kuma.
Yep, Bartholomew Kuma.
But isn't he, like, straight up dead now?
Yeah, he's gone. That ship sailed.
Yeah. It was just one of those incredibly weird coincidences that people were speculating about way back in the day.
That is actually really interesting. I'd never noticed that before.
But Devil Fruit
now,
are
the other thing that pokes holes in it and you're saying, yeah, but, is that there's multiple different numbering... There's two different... languages for numbers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
in Japan, and some of those numbers are taken from one and some of them are taken from the other. So it's not like it's consistent throughout, but...
Well, one thing
anyway,
I've never seen...
Oda's answer to the question was, shock, gosh, that surprised me. Why was I surprised? No comment. Next.
They've never actually said, though, that devil fruits are one-offs, though, right? Like, Luffy's Gomu Gomu fruit was not the only... Gomu Gomu fruit in the world.
I think he might have said that.
I thought that way back in the day they said that, yeah, the whole invisibility fruit thing, Sanji being pissed off when he found out the other guy had eaten it because there's only one of every type.
Okay.
So I think that there's only one of every fruit.
I think it would have been funny if, like, say, Usopp got the Nikyu Nikyu fruit.
Well, isn't the thing, like, when the person dies, like, the fruit reappears somewhere on the world? Something like that? So, you know,
so how does that work with the things where the fruits are combined with inanimate objects and that sort of stuff?
Well, I'm just wondering, since Kuma is technically dead, if his ability
but,
is going...
The cyborg still has...
But they only mimic his fruit.
Like, well, no. They mimic the fruit of the one Admiral. The original that carries around the Bible still has the palm.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Confused.
They've really never got... If they're going to get into that at some point, I assume it's going to have to be this arc.
If they're going
to
be confronting
Vegapunk... Well, if they're going to get into
yeah.
it at some point, they're going to have to get into it with whatever arc they confront Vegapunk and you learn about all that stuff, because I'm sure that the mechanics, if you will, of the Devil Fruit are probably going to be explained a lot more in that one.
But he could just as easily like leave it completely closed. He doesn't have to actually talk about it.
Oh, no, I agree entirely. I'm just expecting that if we're going to get that info dump at any point, it'll be when they confront or meet Vegapunk.
Yeah.
Last chapter, I wasn't so sure that was going to happen, but with the G-Men showing up and knocking out the pirates, I'm kind of...
Do you think they use a Devil Fruit for that, actually, or was that just pure technology?
It looked like technology, like some sort of gas or something like that.
Yeah, there's a fog around the ship.
When I saw the fog, my first thought was Smoker, but maybe that was intentional.
Yeah, that was my impression too, and then I was thinking, I wonder if Smoker can change his smoke into different types of fumes or something like that now, but...
Yeah, that was my initial thought too.
See, now I think Smoker's going to end up just finding the empty ship. I am interested, like, as small scales as Ark is so far, it's still not, like, uninteresting. Which is the problem with the last arc.
Well, I think that it was just that we had been waiting for Fishman Island since Water 7. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that was the first time that it was mentioned.
If there hadn't been so much build-up to Fishman Island, I don't think it would have seemed as dull and uneventful as it actually ended up being.
Well, and it suffered the same way that Thriller Bark suffered, because it followed Marineford just like the way Thriller Bark followed an Ace Lobby.
I liked our Thriller Bark.
Yeah, me too.
It was all right. It just wasn't as good.
The only thing I didn't like about that was Hulk Luffy.
It's not that it wasn't as good as it was different. It wasn't an all-out fight, you know, against super strong people. It was a fun little zombie thing.
It also had Usopp being the natural counter to Perona, which was easily the best part of that arc.
Yeah,
that's great. That beats anything in Water 7.
Or Fishman Island.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't too much that came out of Fishman 7 that really strikes... Did I say Fishman 7?
Yeah.
You just said Fishman 7.
I'm gonna roll with it. So in Fishman 7, there wasn't too much coming out of it that was really that memorable, I don't think. I mean, that seems it'll have a lasting effect, except for the Big Mom confrontation.
That's like, I guess the weapons, the ancient holy weapons thing, is the big stuff.
Right, that too.
But even that was kind of, I don't understand why Robin doesn't really let the rest of the crew in on what she's doing.
I don't think that most of them care.
She also could have been instructed not to.
By who?
I don't think she's
Dragon
for the. Revolutionary Army.
Well, how much interaction did we see in the cover arcs? Didn't they just rescue her and that was...
Yeah, they rescued her and then she was there with them for a while and then she was running away from them at the island.
Hmm.
Remember, she was escaping them and they kidnapped the fake Robin. Speaking of which, I can't wait for the fake Straw Hats cover arc because know it's coming.
That wasn't the revolutionaries that kidnapped her on the archipelago. That was CP6 or something like that.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Revolutionary Army.
Maybe we'd know if Oda actually, you know, drew these things. Not the cover arcs. I mean, actually, like, expanded on the story that happened when they were gone.
It wouldn't surprise me if we'll hear, at least for the one, for maybe Frankie and for her... We'll hear more later on, because, I mean, everybody else... Well, and Zoro, but for the most part, everybody else is kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah, I mean, Nami just trained with that dude for 2 years.
Yeah, like, Chopper learned medicine and experimented with rumble balls, you know? That sort of stuff.
Well, we'll see. I was going to hopefully get off the transition of you reading off the number names, because I'm going to be saying, speaking of manga geeks, In Bakuman, they have a new antagonist. Or should I say an old antagonist?
Yeah, not many people understood who this character was.
I didn't either. You told me. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. You know who he is, right, Greg?
Not off the top of my head.
You remember their classmate that drew, like, the moe crap when they
yep.
were in high school?
It's
yeah, it's
him.
Yes, it's that guy.
Aha. And that would explain how he would know which
yes.
person it is.
He would be aware of their relationship and be able to put it together.
Well, Mashiro told everybody that he was Ashiro Gimuto at the
yes.
high school reunion.
And he
yeah.
knows that him and Azuki were close and went to school together. So.
And so, now, all of a sudden, the dots are connected.
Yes, he's a much bigger threat than if he was just some guy.
Well, I mean, if he was just some guy and was able to come to the correct conclusions and was posting it on there, then it would still have just as much impact. Potentially.
I do like where this is going of him being exposed, and I'm sure he won't be able to hire her because it would show favoritism or something like that.
I'm of two minds on this. On one hand, that's kind of interesting. On the other hand, this just has to end at some point. Like, this whole Azuki voice actress thing. They have to hire her for an anime at some point.
I don't think that this is necessarily, you know, oh, this is going to be the end for this one, so she's not going to get into this anime, and so they have to try a different one. I think it's going to be a way to establish tension in the process, so their opinions no longer matter, and she has to win it of her own right, sort of thing.
So it's not just, and then she got the part, the end, like there's actually some conflict involved in it.
Yeah, I'm still in the camp that believes she's going to get the part.
Yeah, and I think they'll get married and the manga will just keep going. Like, it'll be like when Takagi got married. It's just going to be a thing.
Well, I think that they'll get married, the manga will keep going until the anime's finished, and then they're going to have, and then come up with their new idea for their next series, and then that'll kind of be the ending, sort of thing. Like, and then this is where it's going off.
I really am interested in this arc to see where it goes with, like, if they do end up just getting exposed and, you know, how they're going to deal with it. It's going to be real interesting.
I'm guessing it's going to be a big confrontation with the editor-in-chief, who's just going to be like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
I did like how they were like, oh, he's so cool, he's so interesting. And he goes home with, like, a huge goofy smile on his face and talks to his wife about how he became editor.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
But yeah.
And I guess the other thing that might happen is because nobody actually knew who they were, now they might have to deal with, like, paparazzi or something like that.
Oh, yeah. It could become common knowledge that they're actually two people.
I thought that was common knowledge already.
Was it?
I think it's an open secret, but they don't actually, like, talk about it.
I thought it was just, like, among other manga it's known, but, like, fans always just refer to him as a singular unit.
Yeah, every letter
they
get
refers to
them as you.
I mean, it's not like none of the... I mean... What? Their entire high school class was aware that it was them, right?
I don't think it was,
right.
Like, they knew that they were making manga, but they didn't know that they were Ashiragi Muto in Jump.
I honestly can't remember if his high school knows that or not.
That feels like years and years ago.
I mean, Ishizawa, or whatever his name is, would have to know that to make the connection with Azuki.
But, like, again, the high school reunion, Mashiro was telling everybody there.
Yeah.
Right.
So I do kind of wonder if, like, the voice actress on the other issue is going to end up getting the part. If that happens, I'm not sure what... it depends on how they handle it, but I feel
I think
like
she's just going to...
It reaches its logical end.
The part and then decline to actually take it or something. I don't know.
The part that, like, stood out to me was her saying, a voice actress I really respect, when talking about Azuki.
I'm sure she's just been introduced to be Azuki's rival in the part. So she has some kind of legitimate competition.
But it seems like that
makes
would show favoritism,
to
too. Logic and Bakuman.
What are you talking about? It's perfectly logical.
Speaking of logical and grounded in reality, you finished reading Beelzebub, didn't you, Greg?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
It was entertaining. It arcs upward into the sky really, really rapidly.
Yeah, that's like a freaking 2-degree straight line going up.
Yeah, the only thing, while I was reading it, thinking of the progression, the only thing that I can think of that's kind of remotely in the same ballpark, and this isn't necessarily a good comparison to make, is Air Gear. In that it started like kind of similar, where, you know, there was the people in the high school that he was, you know, battling and whatnot, and then all of a sudden it just got more and more and more ridiculous really, really quickly.
Yeah, with Air Gear, like, my exposure to that was like the first arc with the skating. Like, I mm-hmm. watched that in the anime. And then the next time I happened to look in it, Obama was changing bodies with a 16-year-old girl. So,
yeah, it had long since kind of left the realm.
That was a pretty big shock of difference.
Air Gear is kind of in its own special little world when it comes to terms of insanity. But have you started reading it yet, Imran? Or
I started reading the first couple of chapters. I'm at, I think, chapter 3 or 4 now, when Freddie Mercury shows back up.
Okay.
Oh, in Beelzebub. Okay.
Yes.
I was like, Freddie Mercury is in Air Gear?
But yeah, it's funny. Those first couple of chapters are not well translated.
No, the problem is Beelzebub uses a lot of slang, which they get a hang on later on. But
yeah, and then there's also, you know that you've been reading way too much manga when there was a moment when there was a pun, and the pun was originally in Japanese, where like they combined two words. It was Aniki and Baka for Big Bro and Idiot, and they combined them into Bakaniki, and I was able to figure that out from the terrible translation where they were attempting to make it work, but it really didn't. And that's when I went, oh god, I was just able to understand a pun in Japanese. I have been reading way too much of this.
They had another one where, like, the babysitter woman said she was from hell and said Makai, and they misunderstood her as Macau, but they tried to make the joke work in English, and, like, I was thinking, I could have understood this better if you had actually just left it right.
One of the few instances that you want a translator note under the panel.
Yes. Terabee means TV.
All according to Keikaku.
Oh, Keikaku means plan.
Yes. Yes, it does. But yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it. It's consistently very funny. Like, in a way that action ones rarely managed to achieve, where
Beelzebub has been something that has had me laughing to tears at times. Just
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I've definitely laughed aloud many times.
Some of those chapters when he's on trial within his own mind,
yes,
just those are amazing.
You know what's,
and
actually
it breaks the fourth wall a couple times. It's very aware that it is a manga.
It amuses, not amuses me, I suppose. I admire how well-designed all the school punks are. Because they actually look like school punks and are intimidating. Like, if you compare it to History's Strongest Disciple, Kenichi, when he was doing that martial arts school arc at the very beginning, all of the school punks were pretty much anime designs.
They were pretty boys with long hair.
Yeah. That happened to be incredible fighters. In this one, all the school punks look like actual school punks.
I also do like how that they, over the course of the thing, they've gotten to be fleshed out to be a little more distinct than I am a school punk sort of thing.
Yeah, they have
and
their
that,
own.
That's the other thing that I will definitely say for this one. This has a huge cast, and it manages to juggle them in a, well, in some cases in a comedic manner. Like, there's this one gang which is talked up initially, and then it's become a running gag that anybody who shows up, they're the first people that get beaten up by them because they're that far behind everything now. So it's just a running joke in the series. But they manage to keep everybody in it and not necessarily relevant, but it's not like it dwells on them, so it's able to handle a huge cast very well. Now it kind of throws some of the conventional wisdom with that out the window, and I'm not going to talk at length about this because you're still reading it, Imran, but I'm sure that you can agree that with this most recent major arc, it had set things up to do stuff in a traditional shonen manner when it comes to a large cast, and then it just kind of veered off into left field with that.
Well, that's one thing, is it kind of always flies in the face of standard. Like, they set up this thing, Imran, where all the past characters show up and they're all facing down their own bad guy to fight. And then the next chapter, that's all taken care of without them having to do anything. And they all comment how they thought they were showing up at the climactic moment. And they don't even get to fight.
I think I would have liked Bleach more if it went in that direction, just pure self-parody.
Well, it's not even a parody. It's just how Beelzebub is. It's
a crazy guy sets up an elaborate game of trivia for them, and someone solves it in, like, at the same time every single game, so he never has to show any of the other ones.
I think the baby's cute, though. Like, surprisingly cute.
Just to get an idea of where it's at, I looked, okay, it's around chapter 150, so because the two things that it was reminding me of in a lot of ways were Air Gear and Bleach, I went to chapter 150 of each of those to see what was going on at the time, and in Bleach, it was right at Rukia's execution, and in Air Gear, it was right after it had firmly and completely jumped the shark. So it's managing to perfectly toe that line of getting more and more ridiculous without seeming stupid.
I gotta ask Greg, how do you feel about Furuichi? Do you think he's
the best
character?
He is the best character.
Right, in any manga, right? He's singularly the best character, period.
Does he change that much? Because he's pretty much just a straight man where I am.
Oh, he's the best straight man ever.
He is kept in the series because he is a straight man.
He gets crapped on so much in the series. Like, he is the butt of every punchline.
Yes.
I'm excited to read
and
more.
He is the butt of the world's random events.
One thing I appreciate about this manga is it feels like I don't know much about the author, but it feels like he feels like a younger author, because there's a lot of relevant video game references and a lot of pop culture references.
He does actually pull in a lot of specific items, like all the Dragon Quest stuff. And
there was a lot of Street Fighter 4 references, too.
Yeah, and one of the... I don't remember the context right now, but it had a picture of him and his sister playing with the Wii.
Yeah, they were just playing Wii.
Yeah.
I also like how Lady Gaga has showed up more than once.
Yes.
Yeah, remember you regretting that you did not mention Lady Gaga when trying to sell us on Beel.
Yeah, I feel like that would have done it right away.
Well, it would have gotten people who don't normally read manga to be reading it, right?
Would have been totally misleading, but worth it.
So where exactly do you think that it's going to be going from here?
I don't know. Like, with this specific arc, it just seems like they're introducing a new playmate for Beel in this little mafia princess. But I don't know. Those demon dudes are still just hanging out in the real world, so I'm not sure.
Yes, at one point, Imran, the world will be saved by video games.
Yes.
Like always.
Can't remember which video game, but...
Oh, it wasn't any specific one.
It was just video games.
It was just video games.
Well, I think they were playing Wii Tennis, and Furuichi kept not looking at the screen and losing.
Oh, was that what they were? Okay. I kind of marathoned this entire thing. I read about as much as you had, maybe a little bit more after we recorded last week, Imran, and then the next night. I just kind of was like, okay, I'll read a little bit more, and I started reading, and I just kind of didn't stop.
That happened to me with One Piece.
It was 3 in the morning.
I read the entirety of One Piece in over a week, I think.
And then I outdid you and read it all in one weekend.
That's... Holy crap, man.
Yeah, I read from the start to the fight with Lucci in 2 days.
Wow.
I was well past Water 7 when I started reading. It was...
Seriously?
I
was about at the same point. It was the climax of NES Lobby was where I caught up.
It took me a while to get Imran to start reading.
Yeah, I think it was end of Thriller Bark. when I started reading.
Okay. So actually, that might be part of the reason why I think you enjoyed Thriller Bark more than perhaps at least I did, was that you got to read it all as one block. And it wouldn't surprise me if going back and reading that all at one time, it goes a lot better than the, you know, every chapter one week at a time.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of arcs in a lot of manga that work a lot better in just big chunks. That's probably why volume sales are generally better than actual week-to-week jump sales.
That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, come to think of it. And, I mean, I certainly know that reading stuff all at once with things like, especially the slower-to-release ones, like when Full Metal Alchemist was coming out, and that was a once-a-month thing. Now, it was fun reading that month-to-month because they were, you know, 40, 50 pages each month, so you were still getting a large drop, so it was possible to have kind of isolated arcs within a single chapter, almost, kind of. And she was able to place the cliffhangers at, like, the most appropriate, infuriating places possible. But going back and reading that again, as I've gotten the volumes as they've come out in the States, just all in one constant stream, it's been a lot of fun going back and seeing how everything flows together so well.
I hadn't realized that the mangaka for Fullmetal Alchemist was female until you just said that.
Seriously?
Really?
Yeah, no.
I had no idea.
No, she's like the most prolific female mangaka.
Huh. Well, good for her.
She always draws herself as a cow, though, so that's probably why you didn't realize it.
Yeah, I just looked on Wiki.
In all of the little, like, joke things at the end. Yeah, has she... I know she wrote something but wasn't drawing it for, like, a couple chapters or something like that, but has she started a solo project since finishing Fullmetal Alchemist?
She's doing Silver Spoon, that farm one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's her. It's some kind of farm manga. I know people that read it and enjoy it, but I haven't gotten into it yet.
Yeah, I haven't honestly bothered to look at it, but okay.
Yeah, but it's called Silver Spoon, so.
Okay. And now I know.
It seems kind of weird to go from like something sort of grim, dark, like Fullmetal Alchemist to a farm manga.
I don't necessarily know if I'd call it grim dark.
It's kind of grim dark.
It got pretty serious at points.
When,
like, there was some
genocide is kind of like a major plot point.
Yes. Successful genocide at that.
Fair point. I guess I don't know. Because it's not... It's people falling over as opposed to, you know, having tons of gruesome detail on that sort of stuff. And when I normally think of Grimdark, I'm thinking Berserk or Gantz or something like that. So,
I think that contrast works well for a lot of manga, where it's mostly humorous than, hey, these people are getting stabbed in the head.
Yeah, that's always kind of the big shock when the thing that you thought was just like kind of a goofy fighting manga, someone gets impaled and dies.
Does it mean, or does Naruto kind of stay away from gore these days?
Did it really? The goriest I can remember is Haku getting punched through.
I mean, that first arc was Naruto stabbing himself in the hand, you know, Haku getting punched, Zabuza cutting up a bunch of people.
Yeah, that there was a bit of stuff in the Chunin exam stuff too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's something that his editor came to him and said we needed a little bit more mass market appeal, so tone it down a bit. Because you're right. After that, the Chunin exam, there wasn't that much gore.
Like kunais in general kind of got written out.
Yeah, and they kind of moved away from bladed weapons in general and more into energy attacks.
And hand-to-hand combat.
It always disappointed me that Rock Lee did not become one of the strongest ninjas in that show.
Well, he's heading to
the battle
right
that
now.
My personal bias with that was just because the initial fight with him versus Gaara in the anime was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that easily one of the best fights.
But then, like, the whole thing was, our hard work gets you very far if you can actually, you know, commit to it. But then they chose to use Naruto to exemplify that, and then it didn't really work because then all of Naruto's power came from the tailed beast. Because he stopped kind of working hard.
Yeah. I don't know, we kind of touched on this last week,
yeah, like we were talking about last week, they kind of dropped the ball on both ends with that, because even in Lee's case, like, they had the comment about, oh, he has to be a genius if he's able to unlock that many gates, so.
But then he was also outranked by Neji after the time skip.
Well, everybody is, right?
Well, yeah, he became Jonin, but it just seemed like the whole thing was him trying to beat Neji, and once he lost to Gaara, he sort of gave up. But I've never read his child manga.
Oh, God, don't.
Is it that bad?
It's not for you.
It is for people who are, you know, 4 or 5 years old.
Does Kishimoto actually write that, or?
No.
I think so, yeah.
No, he totally doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't? Okay.
No, it's a different artist and different writer, just like the Dragon Ball thing.
It would be sad if they got his brother to do it.
That guy deserves a break.
He does. It would seem maddening, if nothing else, than the fact that everyone accuses him of copying Kishimoto's style. When they just developed it together.
What does he do?
I forgot the manga name. I'd have to
666 Satan, and then that ended. And then he did Blazer Drive, which was based on a DS game, and that got
canceled.
Never
heard of that.
It was pretty good. It didn't finish getting translated, so not even the last chapters before it got canceled or done. But it's interesting. People place stickers on things to get powers. I like the art.
It just, I feel bad for him because he developed his style with his brother, and his brother's the only one who ever gets credit.
Well, it's just in your sibling's shadow.
Yeah.
That's not that uncommon of a thing.
Well, it's better to have developed it with him so you can keep using it, unlike that one, the American guy who was basically tracing Bleach and
Helsing
and various other things for his comic.
Yeah, that's Gene Simmons' son.
Didn't Kubo reply to that at one point? Like, he was surprised, not because somebody was copying Bleach, but because it was Gene Simmons' son?
Yes, he was just stunned that that's who was doing it.
Like, he was flattered, kind of.
Well, Kubo's really into American music, so I'm sure he's fully aware of who that is.
I think it's kind of funny that Gene Simmons' son is a comic artist.
Well, he's not.
Kind of.
Right. Not anymore, anyway.
All right, we're running a little long, but I wanted to mention one thing for whatever European listeners we have. There's a One Piece 3DS game out there now. Don't buy that.
Why is that? Isn't that the combination of the Wii games?
Ideally, but they cut out half the game.
What?
Because they.
So it's just the first one again?
Yeah. And they didn't tell anybody this until the game released.
And it's still full price.
Yep.
I was looking forward to that.
So yeah, just wait until they actually release a fixed version, or just ignore it as a whole.
Or play the Wii games, I think those are out there.
Yeah, those that were out in Europe. So, just a friendly PSA that it happens to be Jump-related.
Yeah, we can talk about Jump games, right?
One Piece is much more popular in Europe because they get things like, you know, the national Italian like sports teams get sponsored by One Piece and stuff like that.
Seriously?
Yeah, no, there was some awesome uniforms. I'll see if I can find them.
Do you think they could ever relaunch that series in America? I doubt it. Like, I feel like the gravy train has passed.
Well, I think that the gravy train for anime as a whole has kind of passed.
Any, like, Japan-oriented thing is not going to do well anymore here.
Well, I mean, do you guys remember how the anime section at Best Buy used to look and how it looks now? It's like, they used to have a whole aisle of 100 different series, and now it's, like, Naruto and Fullmetal Alchemist DVDs in a corner.
Yeah, now that being said, I think that manga sales have actually increased quite a bit. Like, it's moved from being an animated thing to being more of a red thing. Because if you look at bookstores and that sort of stuff, there's usually much larger sections devoted to manga.
Oh, it always does my heart good when I go in and the new volume of One Piece is right out front with all the other new releases.
Yeah. And I just sent you guys the link, and there's the official uniforms, which were on the Italian volleyball, like the national team's uniforms.
That's kind of awesome. Kind of nerdy, but...
Yeah.
Like, those are actually well-designed, too. It's not just the logo on there.
Now, it's only for, like, two subs that are standing in the back and that sort of stuff, and they sell them out as advertising and that sort of thing. But it just cracks me up that a professional sports team has One Piece sponsoring it.
So, wait, Italian volleyball is like NASCAR? They just plaster stuff on the uniforms?
Only the people who are standing in the back. But even like international soccer gets sponsored by specific teams and have stuff on their jerseys, if I'm not mistaken.
Crazy.
Now, it's not as bad as NASCAR. It's usually like one sponsor per team, and they just have a small logo or something like that. But
okay, well, should I continue the tradition of recommending something every week?
Go for it. Have you read Toriko yet? I remember you saying a couple weeks ago you were going to start.
I said I was thinking about starting.
Still thinking?
And maybe. what I'd recommend this week is Good Ending. It's a romance one, but it's fairly good. Like, it's maybe going on a little bit too long at this point, but it deals with relationships in a more mature manner. Not, you know, not actually mature, but a little grown up from having harems and stuff.
Remember Ichigo 100% ending kind of pissed me off.
Is that one of the ones that ends with, like, and then he loved every girl?
No, he chooses a girl, but it's a girl completely wrong for him.
Oh. That's even worse. Go ahead.
I was contemplating starting Hunter x Hunter because that's the, well, it's the third longest running one currently in Jump. One Piece is the second, so.
Well, it's longest running, but not for any decent reason.
Isn't that one with that cop the longest running one?
It's been 30 years or something. God, what's the name of this thing?
It's a comedy manga, wasn't it?
Kochikame. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's been running since 1976.
Is it the same manga? Like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Pretty sure.
Huh. Looks like it. Let's see. Yep, written by Osamu Akimoto.
Damn. That guy's got to have really bad carpal tunnel.
Yep. Oh. 176 volumes published.
Jeez. Has more volumes than Beelzebub has chapters.
That reminds me that Pendleton Ward revealed his new cartoon the other day, and one of the characters is named like Ashley Tezuka or something like that, and she's just like a massive Astro Boy reference.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. Is that Strongest Hero
thing?
Yeah, I've been reading his blog and looking at the sketches.
So yeah, Jumpcast now talking about Pendleton Ward. I like how we were talking about the other day that we're not going to jump the shark, and we've been jumping it further each week.
Yeah, just getting onto tangential topics further and further.
Sooner or later, this is just going to be an Adventure Time podcast.
See, now, I still have only watched two episodes of that.
Well, now I have this with Adventure Time music.
Yeah, I'm not going to engage you in conversation because I will just keep going for like an hour. So.
All right, then we'll end it here because we're already running long. Guys, thank you for coming this week.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, be back next week, and hope you guys had a good time. Later. With me, my friends, if you're even my friends. What am I to you? Am I a joke? You're knight or your brother? What am I to you? Do you look down on me because I'm younger? Do you think that I don't understand? I just wanted us together and to blaze a band. Last night was the most fun I've ever had. Even liked it when the two of you would get mad at each other. Friends in the world, you are my best friends in the world. And that's right, I'm talking about the two of you, girls, and you, Jake. I want to sing a song to you, and I refuse to make it fake. What am I to you? Am I a joke, your knight, or your brother? What am I to you? Do you look down on me cause I'm younger? Do you think that I don't understand? I just wanted us together and to play as a band. I'll forget that I lost a piece of your hair. I'll remember the pasta that we shared over there. Are my best friends in the world. You are my best friends in the world. Oh, that's right, I'm talking about the two of you, girls. And you, Jake, I'm gonna sing a song to you and I refuse to make it fake. Make no mistake, I'm gonna sing a song that feels so real, it'll make this door break. I was just gonna say there's probably no satisfactory ending to who Obito is.
Oh, I would be perfectly satisfied if it's actually Madara's younger brother.
I would kind of like if it's never specifically said who he is, and he just dies a nobody.
I'm gonna let my pet theory is it's going to be future Sasuke.
it's Sasuke and Naruto's child.
God.
You laugh, but you think you know future Sasuke is definitely a possibility.
I don't think that we've seen time travel.
If anyone can do it, it's going to be Sasuke.
It would be so awesome if it was future Sasuke and he's like, Naruto becomes a monster in the future and he has to stop him, and that's why he came back in time.
And that's why Sasuke is actually a good guy.
Yeah, it's like, I had to unite the world because your tailed beasts overtake you and destroy it. Oh, that would be so awesome if somehow he's a good guy.
The entire manga has really been about Sasuke the entire time.
And now we have to be talking about this next week, right?